Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Look at the players that are going to be on the floor in this series. They had drawn the comparison of who is the second best player, because Donovan, hands down, not a doubt, the best player that's on the floor at all times during all of these games. But the question that had sort of come up was, okay, is it Evan Mobley or Tyrese Haliburton for number two? Which guy would you pick? And when it comes to that debate, and Nick was on the side of Mobley, JP was sort of on the fence, and I'm pretty close to where JP was, where it's like, okay, Evan had a really good year, Tyrese closed out a really good, 20-some-odd games. I view them fairly in an even light, obviously doing two very different things and on two very different operated teams in the role that they play on those teams. But I look at both of them and I say, if you put either guy at number two, not a big deal. The conversation then turned into Tyrese or Darius, in which I just don't necessarily think it's that close. Like, I don't think that Darius is quite to the level of Tyrese Haliburton. And it's not a knock, I think, on Darius. Like, Tyrese is the leader of a team, again, that was in the Eastern Conference Finals last year. I think Darius is just a step below that, a rung below that. If you flipped those two guys on either team, I don't think that the Pacers are where they are right now if Darius is at the helm of Indiana. I don't. Yeah, I think Tyrese has him beat in that category. And that was where the disconnect came. JP was on the side of Garland's definitely not better, and Nick was on the side of Garland's definitely better. It's to the point where I feel like there's almost a level of like underestimation for Tyrese Haliburton because he was named the most overrated player in the NBA. He was put to, in the beginning of the year, he wasn't having a great season. And I think a lot of it probably came from, well, he had one really good year on Indiana, and it was, I don't want to call it a breakout year because he's an NBA vet. Like he had an uptick in production last year that made him sort of what he was and took that step back. But he's gotten so much better. And Nick and JP kept the conversation going. Chris Fedor at Cleveland.com joined them later on in the show and answered the question of sort of where he would place the top players of the series in terms of their individual talents ranked on a list.
I'd say number one is Donovan Mitchell. Number two is Tyrese Haliburton. And number three is Evan Mobley. I'm just not there yet when it comes to Darius. And I keep going back to this. Tyrese Haliburton has done things to a high level in the NBA that he has led his team as the alpha of that team to the conference finals. And you can talk about the road that they had and all the injuries that the opponent was dealing with during that playoff run. But Tyrese Haliburton, to me, has accomplished more than Darius has.
And I think that's a fair point. Obviously, the Cavs were not set up in a great position from a head coaching standpoint, I think, to accomplish things. But I also just think it's sort of just left off to the side the fact that, like, yes, Tyrese is the guy in Indiana. Like, there's no question there. Nobody looks around and goes, well, is it Miles Turner? Is he the guy? Is Pascal Siakam the guy? I don't think you really have those conversations. Tyrese is the focal point of that team. The point of, again, you could pick either side as the number two. If you want to tell me you think Mobley's more of an impactful player in this series than Tyrese Haliburton is, okay. I'm not going to argue with you. If you want to go to bat for Evan Mobley, done it several times this year. I'm not afraid. I just think if you're pushing it onto Darius, again, there's no sustained success for Darius, especially in the big moments, like during the playoffs. Darius, especially last year, and yes, he was not 100% healthy, but did not put up the best playoff performance ever. Like, it was very lackluster from what you were expecting. And I think you just leave it to be wanted more. And there's just almost a lack of respect for Tyrese and the Pacers going and getting to an Eastern Conference Finals. Like, yes, at the end, you lose to Boston the same way that everybody else did. I feel like taking down the Knicks isn't like a nothing. Not a full health Knicks, because when are they ever? But that's a good team. It's a solid team. And for Indiana was in the playoff success that they had experienced before that, I think it was still a very good win for that team. But I don't think people truthfully realize the impact that Tyrese has had since the All-Star break. Not a good year. He ends the year with like 8 assists and going through like 18 points. Post-All-Star break, he was averaging almost 21 points a game, 11 assists in the games following in the regular season. And in the playoffs, amid a shooting slump, is averaging almost 12 assists a game on 18 points. Like, is he an all-around elite scorer? Would I rather have Darius Garland shooting the ball? Yeah, absolutely. I'd rather have Darius as the shooter. But is the distributor, the shot creator, and the playmaker, and most definitely the defender? I think Tyrese has him beat in a lot of those spots. The point, again, if you want to place him second, if you want to place him third, either is fine for me. He's just, there's no chance he's going fourth. I'm not putting three Cavs above Tyrese Haliburton in a series that's going to be probably going, I would say, six games is probably the place to go. Like, it wouldn't surprise me if you won in five, but I could definitely see it going six. If you look at Tyrese Haliburton, where are you placing him among the players on the floor? I think the only fair rankings to throw out there are about 1 through 4. 216-474-0092. I'll also toss a question over to Jax, because I know very opinionated on Tyrese Haliburton.
He's 3A or 3B. He's not better than Evan Mobley or Donovan Mitchell. Evan Mobley does it on both sides of the floor, but I understand Tyrese Haliburton gets you those 11 assists or whatever, but he's going to get exposed in this series because of what you said last segment. They're going to focus all. They're going to make Tyrese Haliburton try to score everything. And Tyrese Haliburton doesn't have that skill set. Yeah, he scores a lot, but he's shooting 26% from three in the playoffs this year. That's not great. And that's what Kenny Atkinson is going to say to these guys. He's going to say, hey, just do your best with everyone else. Siakam had a rough first round as well. Miles Turner scares me a little bit. But they're going to try to force him to beat the Cavs, and Tyrese Haliburton doesn't have the offensive scoring skill set to do that at all.
I mean, I would also argue, like, so if I'm comparing him again, and this isn't a put-down Darius or put-down Evan Mobley segment, it's not what I'm intending to do, but, like, just looking at them as a one-to-one comparison, I don't think that, in the same way, and I agree with you, Tyrese Haliburton cannot do everything on his own. He is not an elite scorer in the NBA. He is, again, a playmaker, a shot creator, a distributor of the basketball, who can also score and get his own points, but it's not like he's going and dropping 40. It's just not his game on a traditional night. But it's the same way that, okay, I do think that Darius could go and create for himself and drop 40 in a game. I do think that Darius, put into a situation to do so where he's the primary ball handler, could probably raise his assist numbers well above the 6.7 they were at this year. I also know that Tyrese can at least semi-hold his own on the defensive side of the ball. Darius gets picked
with
on.
What? Where?
A much better defender than Darius Garland is on
probably
ball.
Because he have a little bit of a height advantage, but like it's not like
that's part of the equation.
Better.
It's definitely
Darius Garland
better.
Went in ISO against some of these players. I saw the stats. He's holding like Jason Tatum to 30% from the field when in ISO against him. And there's multiple, I wish I had it pulled up. There's multiple things where everybody's like, oh, you got it. Once Darius gets, he's forcing these dudes into bad shots. And I don't think there might've been one person shooting over 50% in Darius Garland isolation with him playing defense.
They lost to the Celtics last year. Split the series with them this year.
He wasn't 100% healthy.
It was not.
And we didn't have Donovan Mitchell or Jared Allen. It's completely different.
They still split the series with them this year, two games to two.
It's not just Darius Garland's fault that they lost to the Celtics.
No, I'm not saying that it is, but the Celtics' game plan is clear and obvious. They want to get Darius in isolation.
I don't disagree with that, but everybody makes it seem like a much bigger deal than this, because when you actually look down at the stats and exactly what they are, he's not a bad ISO defender, as bad as an ISO defender as everybody thinks he is. I'm going to find this and pull it up.
Please do. I mean, by all means, go find the stat and display to me the numbers. Because I do think, and I'm not going to disagree with you, that some of the defensive woes of Darius Garland are definitely overstated and what they actually are. Like, yes, he's undersized. Yes, there's times where he can get bullied around. And if he gets into ISO on Jason Tatum, do I really trust him? Even if he's, you know, sitting in a 30% stat line or whatever it was that you had, do I trust him to stick there? No, not really. Like, I expect Jason Tatum to eventually go get his, but by no means is he a good defender, and by no means is he a better defender than Tyrese Halliburton. Like, he
I just think
presents
that's,
that.
Like, in no way is he, but we're acting like Tyrese Halliburton's like...
I'm not saying he's a lockdown defender. I'm just saying he's better than Darius on the defensive side of the ball. Is some of that due to the height and just size in general? Yeah, probably. But that's part of the characteristics of Darius Garland, part of the measurables that hurt him defensively. He gets picked on. I guarantee you Indiana at some point also tries to imply the let's get Darius into ISO ball and try to attack him. That's if he plays, which we'll talk about later on in the show. Like, if he plays, they're going to try to isolate Darius. I can almost guarantee it. And if not, they're probably going to try to isolate Ty Jerome. The same way, like, Ty's not an incredible defender. He's an okay defender. He's not incredible. They're going to try to isolate Ty. To me, there's no... It's not a 3A, 3B. It's a 2A, 2B, or a clear 3. I just think there is a gap there. Is it a massive gap? Do I think he's miles better than Darius? No, I think it's a step. There's a step in being a leader in the guy that he is. And leading a team to an Eastern Conference Finals, I think it's disrespectful if you're sitting there putting him behind Darius Garland. And again, not a knock to Darius. He's been incredible. He's been incredibly impactful for the Cavs in the entirety of the regular season. It's not a knock to Darius, but it's, I think, a knock to Tyrese Halliburton to just throw aside everything he's done, playoffs, and especially getting this Pacers team to be where they are right now. That's a team who is still dangerous, has a lot of pieces, and are, again, led solely. Is Tyrese Halliburton a superstar? No. But he's definitely the leader of that team, and it's not in a way that the Cavs do it. They have a lot of good pieces, but there is a number one, and a clear number one, and the ball is constantly in his hands. He's safe with the basketball. He scores, he distributes, he defends. He does about everything except shoot at an effective clip. And I think you live with that. Again, I don't think there's any chance the Pacers beat the Cavs, but...
I found it.
All right, let's hear it.
Darius Garland and ISO against Jason Tatum. Jason Tatum is 10 for 26, 38%. Against LaMelo Ball. LaMelo Ball is 5 for 19, 26%. Cade and Jaylen Brown are the bad ones. Cade is 8 for 16, 50%. Jaylen Brown is 8 for 11, 72%. Jalen Brunson, 38%. Trae Young, 22%.
Well, those people are just two undersized guards.
Norman Powell, 44%.
There you go, somebody with height.
Jalen Williams, 38%.
That's a feather in the cap of Darius. Jalen Williams is a large individual. But, like, okay... Holding, what was it, 38% for Tatum? Is that the number?
Yeah, 38%. 10 for 26, Tatum is.
Okay, it's a good number for Darius as well. 8 of 11 for Jaylen Brown feels pretty bad if you're going up against
the
Celtics.
That's not good. But it's, like, 10 for 26 on Tatum is, that's, you'll take that every day of the week.
Yeah, you will.
For a six-foot guard?
I'm not saying you don't take that. You 100% do. Tatum's a cornball. He deserves it. But... I also
don't disagree with that.
Yeah, that's a little handshake at the end of that conversation for sure. But again, I think it's disrespectful if you go and place Tyrese Halliburton below. Like, it just from what they've accomplished
so far. They've
been
in the All-Star game the same amount of times.
Again,
he got one round further. Congratulations. Did they even?
As the leader of the team, he is number one. He is the Donovan Mitchell of that team, if you want to put it in comparable perspectives. I'm not saying he's Donovan. He's the Donovan Mitchell of the Pacers. He is the clear number one option. And he took them to the Eastern Conference Finals. Took down a Knicks team. Didn't go seven games at the Orlando Magic, I'll tell you that much. Like, that's it's sort of the difference maker for me. He's been there, he's done it. You can look at the metrics and say he's not great all the time. I think that he's catching too much flack right now as the quote-unquote most overrated player in the NBA. I don't know who else I'm putting there.
That ain't just us saying it. That's the NBA, the players saying that.
Yes, they named him most overrated player.
Players, coaches, and GMs, I think, or something.
Yeah, execs or something, yeah. Just, I think that you get that attached to you, and he's just instantly become a villain.
I think it's also because Tyrese is a cornball as well.
Yeah, he is kind of a cornball.
He's annoying.
Well, we see where he gets it from now. That's all starting to add up. Dad waving a flag in Giannis's face is definitely added up. I'm not disagreeing with that fact. I'm not even saying I like Tyrese. Like, I'm not in love with the player of Tyrese Haliburton, and certainly not the personality. I just think there's still a lot of disrespect attached to that. And maybe a little saltiness coming out of the NBA on where the Pacers got. 216-474-0092. Where do you place Tyrese Haliburton as the rank of best players on the floor in a Cavs-Pacers matchup? Again, 216-474-0092. We're also going to get into the Pacers as a whole here, coming up in about 5 minutes. It's overtime with Jake Volnick right here on The Fan. But I think you're going to look at game by game and realize that each one of these games is going to be sort of a knock-em-out, drag-em-out type of game. You're not just going to be able to run away with 20-point victories every single night and be able to run through the Pacers. You might get a win that looks pretty convincing. You might get two wins that look pretty convincing. Indiana's not the sort of dead dog rollover that Miami did. They're not just going to play that on their side and say, all right, well, you get on to the next round so I can get up and walk out of here. No, Indiana's going to come with the fight. This is a team that, from last year, has more playoff experience than you do. Right? They went another round in the playoffs. They experienced another playoff win. And while I don't think that necessarily holds weight entirely year to year, I think that it does something for the stars that were there and the confidence that they have going into a series against a team like the Cavs. Right? It's a different mindset for them if they were up against the Celtics having lost to them last year, the same way that it's going to be a mindset battle for the Cavs having lost to the Celtics last year. But I'm sure that team still looks at themselves and views themselves as the second best team in the Eastern Conference because that's what last year told them, and that's the type of mentality you have to have and the thing that you're going to tell yourself. While there's no chance of the second best team in the Eastern Conference, I do think that there's underestimation that goes on with a Cavs-Pacers series and getting through that this isn't just going to be the Miami Heat series 2.0. Right? Like, there's too many things out there just basically claiming the Cavs, just victors, there's not going to be a problem in this series, get us to Boston. Well, I'm very much confident you get to Boston. I'm far from get me to Boston mode. Playing against Miami, I was in get me to Boston mode. But now as the Pacers are set in front of you, it's just something you have to take seriously. It's something that you can't just continue to go through and act like they don't exist. To act like they're another 8 seed in the Eastern Conference. They're not. This is no longer the Heat or the Hawks or even Orlando with Boston going up against them. That's just not this team. This team's going to come and score points. They're going to be able to put points up on the board. And I think there's a level of respect that you have for it. And I think it's a very dangerous thing for not the Cavs themselves, because I feel like they're uber confident themselves. I feel like there's nothing really standing in their way. And there's not a mentality of get us to Boston. It is very much round by round with this team. I think they're very focused on Indiana. I don't have fears that this team's looking ahead. But I think it's dangerous for the fan. Because I think going into a Boston series, if you get there the next round, your mentality is going to be thrown off. Like, you're at an all-time high right now. You're living on top of the world after watching a series against Miami. And I think that a series like this is going to bring you down to earth. And let's be very clear. Let's not get the narrative switched that when you play Indiana and things might go poorly in, you know, any sense of the games, if there's one game that doesn't go your way, if there's multiple close games where you see the Cavs struggle, this was not the Cavs running out of gas, the Cavs not being conditioned enough, the Cavs not being in a spot to continue to make shots and, you know, sort of not having the same preparation down the stretch in the regular season that other teams had. It's absolutely none of that. It's just that you had a better Indiana team in front of you. That's the reality of it. You're going to have this team, and I don't want anybody to get knocked off their confidence in this team and that they're the best team in the Eastern Conference. You just have to realize you're going up against a good opponent. And this is probably going to be, if I had to take a guess, a tougher series in the box score of everything compared to whatever the Celtics end up getting, if it's the Knicks or if it's the Pistons, most likely the Knicks. I imagine that the box scores probably look a lot more difficult for Cavs-Pistons. Now, it's going to be a game where, you know, there's some physicality in the other series with Boston and New York. I think that that series, from a physical standpoint, is going to take much more of a toll than a Cavs-Pacers series. This one's just going to be more of an offensive bout where both these teams can put up big numbers.
You open the fridge, there's nothing there. So what's it going to be? Greasy pizza? Sad drive-thru burgers? Dish by Blue Apron is for nights like that. These are the pre-made meals of your dreams. At least 20 grams of protein, no artificial flavors or colors, no chopping, no cleanup, no guilt. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
But the box scores aren't going to look as pretty. The margin of victories aren't going to look as pretty. There is a level of humbling coming for everybody who thinks that this team is untouchable, I think, in the Eastern Conference. In some capacity, however this series looks, I think there's a slight humbling at the very least coming. And I just don't think you should be walking into a Boston series thinking anything changed from the first one. The only thing that changed was you stopped playing a one-dimensional opponent who can't do anything unless Tyler Hero is playing the game of his life. You started playing a team that actually has multiple avenues and ways to win a game. And when they get hot, they can operate in a similar fashion to a Cavalanche. Right? It's not just, oh, one guy's heated up and now he's not missing. It is sort of like, again, a Cavs, a Boston, where it finds it weird. You're not able to sort of pinpoint where it comes from because it's like almost the team gets hot. It's a team mentality. You almost all catch fire at once instead of, oh, this guy's just going off, feed him the ball, in the way that other teams kind of operate. But once one guy starts seeing the ball go through the hoop, all of a sudden the other looks start looking better as well for everybody else on the floor. That's a lot of the time how it feels like Indiana operates, and again, how Cleveland and Boston operate too. So there's going to be runs within these games. This series is going to start to look different. And we talked about sort of the Pacers after the All-Star break just looked better. Like, this team took a massive step up, again, in big part due to Tyrese Halliburton, because he just took himself from struggling very hard to basically putting up 20 points and 11 assists a game, and was sort of the catalyst for what was there. But they went 20-9 after the All-Star break. Like, this is a team, and then went 4-1 in their first playoff series. So since then, 24-10, it's a darn good run. It's not Cavs regular season to start the year type run, but it's a darn good run. They're a team that's gotten hot at the right time. You counted on the Cavs to flip the switch. They were able to do it. But you're meeting a team that's also in the process of having that flip switched, right? Switch flipped. Flip switched. It really, either way you want to go with it, that too. But it does. It's very fitting. This is a team who has had that change go for them. They're operating at the highest level possible right now. This is the best basketball they've played all year. It's not just going to be a runaway. You take it away. So get ready to have your expectations. If they're ultimately very high, I would say lower them and take Indiana for what it actually is. All right, let's leave that there. Coming up in 5 minutes, as we always do at 9 o'clock, it'll be Get a Grip. Dylan Feltovich joining us at 9:20 as well. A lot to get to in the back half of the show. It's Overtime with Jake Volnick, with the guys on the Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.